This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. They are open today. Weather has warmed up a bit. They were closed yesterday due to weather concerns, but they are open today, so make sure you check out GreatLakesDragway.com. Also, check them out on Facebook at Great Lakes Dragway, and also David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com for the best in new and used vehicles at DavidHobbs.com. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from jolly old England, it is David Hobbs. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi there, Steve. Hi, everybody. Nice to be on the show again. Hope you're having a good day over there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, the sun is out, and I'm assuming the sun is probably setting where you're at.
Well, it set about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, actually, now. It gets rather dark here. Don't forget, we're 700 or 800 miles further north than you are. And it's what I consider to be cool, but the locals don't. And, of course, there's nothing like as cool as you're going to be this week, I gather.
Yeah, we got the dreaded polar vortex coming in. So it is what? Is it 7 o'clock there or 8 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, okay.
Yeah, we're 6 hours ahead of Central, 5 hours ahead of Eastern, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction when you heard the news that Roger Penske was purchasing not only the Indianapolis Motor Speedway but also IndyCar?
At first, I saw a tweet. Actually, it was from Scott Atherton, you know, who used to run him. So I guess it would have some weight. But even so, I still kind of couldn't believe that, because the thing about when you're following Twitter, you never know whether you're following the real one or somebody's faking it. But I saw that and I thought, I hadn't heard anything about it, nothing coming up to it, you know, no hint. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I think it's certainly going to be good news for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, for sure. I mean, I just can't see any downside at all. Because, you know, the Holman family have run this place very successfully for 74 years. But, you know, with the exception of Tony George himself, nobody there has the expertise that Roger and his entire management crew have got. So I think it's a fantastic. For IndyCar racing, obviously, I don't see many downsides there other than, of course, the usual as lurking in the wings, the old conflict of interest job. He runs anywhere from sort of 3 to 4 cars or 5, depending on where he is. And so I imagine some of his competitors are a bit nervous. But I think, on the other hand, I mean, really, who better to run? I mean, Champ Car was pretty damn successful in its career. And, you know, Roger was one of the guiding lights behind that. But you've always got to keep an arm's length. So somewhere along the line, they're going to have to get in, you know, management to run it or to run the series. And they're always going to be looking over their shoulder to see if Mr. Penske thinks it's okay. But generally speaking, I think it's great news for the Speedway. Got to be great news for the Speedway. But can you? I mean, I remember being at Indy with Roger back in 1971. It was only his second time at Indy. He had yet to win it. He won it the year after. And I mean, even he was pretty overawed with the whole thing about Indy. You know, got to get there early, guys, because it's going to be crowded. And we're all saying, yeah, right, yeah. Well, because we got there about 8 o'clock on qualifying morning, first weekend qualifying, I couldn't believe the crowd. I mean, the whole thing just absolutely took me completely by surprise. You know, I couldn't have believed this place. And I don't think even Roger then could have even had the vaguest thought in the back of his, even in the back of his mind, that one day I'm going to buy this. I mean, it's so big, so impressive. It's one of those things that you just sort of don't generally, in your normal lexicon of thinking, you don't normally think, oh, one of these days I'll buy this place. I'm just not the sort of place that you just pop up and buy.
Right, and I think you certainly have the unique insight on it because you worked for him for a period of time. And one thing about Roger is that he has the ability to surround himself with very, very good people. He's not intimidating, or he's not intimidated by bringing in smart people. You know, you've heard stories about somebody always, you know, is afraid to bring in somebody smarter than him, you know, than somebody, you know, in other organizations or whether it's in sports or whatever. But that's not the case with Roger. And what's your thought on, you know, with the people he's been able to surround himself throughout the years?
Well, of course, you know, Roger's one of these guys that engenders loyalty. You know, when you work for Roger, you feel loyal to him because he treats everybody really, really well. I mean, he doesn't cheat you. He doesn't fool around. You know, I mean, I know he's a bit of a fan of Donald Trump, but he's about as different a person as you could possibly be, because he is absolutely honest, dead straightforward. And everybody that's works for him for years. And if they're good and they do their job, I mean, they end up working for him for years. And then when they finished, he gives them something else to do, you know, in their retirement. Hey, how would you like to do, you know, run something down in, where do you want to live? Where you want to live in Idaho? Okay, why don't we start it, you know. What do you want to do? Tire? You like tire? Well, I start a tire store. You can run it, blah, you know. I mean, he really, really, really looks after people. And I haven't met anybody that works for Roger who doesn't really appreciate having worked for Roger. And he appreciates them. I mean, I don't think many people know, but he is the biggest car dealer over here in the United Kingdom now. He's got something like 100 dealerships here in the UK. I happen to know a couple of people who know very well people who work for some of Roger's stores here. He bought a big Jaguar group called the Guy Salmon Group, and they had Jaguar stores up in the north of England and in the south. And, you know, don't forget, when we talk about England, we've got 60 million people here, but we're only talking about a country that's just a hair bigger than, like, Wisconsin. He comes in there, you know, get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, gets off his jet in Birmingham Airport, goes down to the dealership in Coventry, comes waltzing in the door about 8 o'clock in the morning, looking like he's been sleeping for, you know, 20 hours, looks perfectly good. And they all love working for him. They think he's the best boss they've ever had. And I remember being asked when I drove from an Indy, you know, somebody said to me, who was a writer, said to me, he's very difficult to work for, isn't he? And I said, I'll tell you what, he's the easiest bloke I've ever driven for, because you know exactly what he wants. He wants you to do as well as you can. Do the best you can for the company. Do the best you can in the car. Don't crash it, obviously. And do your best to win. I said, doesn't get much simpler than that, really. And that's true. I mean, he's a great guy to work for. And I know that he'll find himself a tremendous management team to run the Speedway and to run the series. You know, obviously, there's a couple of very good guys there already.
Right.
And I'm sure he'll add to them. I don't see him replacing anybody on that side of things at the moment. Obviously, it depends how well they all get on together, which is the key. But to go right back to what you said at the beginning, Roger is one of these guys who has an absolutely uncanny ability to choose the right people. And okay, he might run through a few people till he gets the right one, and they're going to be a bit dissatisfied with the way he performs. But the fact is, he knows what he's looking for. And once he's found it, if you just continue to do a great job, you couldn't work for a better bloke.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of media functions, you know, hosted by Roger, and you'll be sitting at the table, you'll be chatting amongst yourselves. Roger will come over to the table, introduce himself, you know, like, "I'm Roger Penske." Yes, we all know that, you know, and yeah. he'll say hi to every single person at that table, and all, you know, and appreciate, you know, "Thanks for coming," blah blah blah, and then move on to the next table. And every function I've been at, he's always done that. And I thought it was a neat thing where was it the 50th anniversary, he had that function down in Charlotte, and he invited all the former drivers, including yourself. I mean, maybe if you could just spend a second on that. That was a pretty neat deal.
It was an incredibly neat deal. It was and again, well, just even before that, in 2009, I was inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America. And as you know, at the moment, we're all suffering because Tom Watson, who really ran it, organized it, started it, ran it so well, passed away just a couple of weeks ago, very unexpectedly, with tragic loss. And Roger is on the board. And I was inducted in 2009. And at the end of the evening, and it used to be in that theater in Detroit. And it was a dinner theater, so down where the stalls in the theater would be was all tables. And obviously Margaret Hobbs came along, and as did Andrew and Austin and Greg. And we were all there for the evening. And having got been awarded the Hall of Fame, I'm up on the stage and we're having a cocktail with Ron and Roger come over. "Hey, Habs, how you doing?" And he straight away said, "How's Margaret?" I said, "Well, she's fine." I said, "She's sitting down there at that table." And he just spun around on his heel, walked across the stage, went down the steps at the end of the stage, and went over and said, "Hey, Margaret, how you doing? You know, Roger." And I mean, I drove for Roger in 1971. We're now talking about 2009. And I don't think he has met Margaret since I drove for him in 1971. And he goes to me and he says, "How's Margaret?" Now, whether he's got a great staff, and before he goes to something like that, he says, "Okay, now, Hobbs is going to be, what's his wife's name?" But I mean, I thought that was absolutely uncanny. Mm-hmm. And the people in England who worked for the dealership find the same thing. He walks in the door, he says, "Hi, Tom, how you doing? How's your wife? How's Marjorie? What's it, Steve? What's the kid's name? Steve and Lucy, is that there?" one of them's having trouble at school, right? I mean, he knows all that stuff. And I think he does genuinely know it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 40,000 employees now. And he's just picked up a few more.
Right.
with the Motor Speedway. And he seems to know everybody. I mean, I know he can't, but he certainly gives the impression that he knows everybody and their wives. And so I think the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is in really good hands.
Oh, I need to toot your horn for you. I saw you on the Dale Earnhardt download.
Oh, did you? Oh,
fantastic. Yeah. That was a lot of that. That seemed like it was fun. We texted each other. You said you had a blast, and it certainly looked like it. He loves that. Yeah, that, you know, he mentioned that, you know, if he could go back in time, that's the one day he would go back to, is the 79 Daytona 500 race. And I thought it was fantastic. And we've chatted about that race too. And so if you get a chance, make sure you check out the Dale Jr. download. And our own Mr. David Hobbs was a guest on there. How much fun was that?
It was terrific. He made you feel very comfortable right at home. Obviously, he works the same network for NBC now that I did for a long time. And so we had a bit in common there. And but he Daytona 500, he said on the show, you know, "I played in the car, I played on the video." He was just so impressed with that whole thing. And, you know, as I said on the show, you know, NASCAR should be paying Ken Squire about $1 million a year, because he, with that race, that 1979 race on CBS, it put NASCAR right on the map, and they have never, ever looked back. And that broadcast was a huge, huge day, probably the most important day in the life of NASCAR was that show. And obviously, I'm very proud and honored to be part of it. He said, you know, well, how did it feel at the time? And I said, well, at the time, you didn't know. We didn't realize that what we were doing was going to be so dramatic. But it was. It was a massive shot in the arm for NASCAR. And it's really, that's all down to Ken. He's the guy that persuaded. He worked on CBS for years. You've got to do NASCAR. And Dale Jr. obviously appreciates that fact and feels that himself. But it was a very enjoyable show. I just feel terrible that I forgot to mention on it about the upcoming show with Lee Diffie, myself, and Steve Matchett, which we're doing in Charlotte on December the 2nd, the day after the last Grand Prix. We're doing a night at the races at the Booth Theater in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, God, I mean, I said to them, don't worry, I'll give it a good plug on the tail end. I never did. I can't believe it. Nor could Lee Diffie. He's going to have my guts for carcass when he sees me next. So, terrible business. But it was good fun to be with Dale. Very good.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show this year, and hopefully we can do it again next year.
I hope so, indeed. Only two races ago in the Grand Prix season. Lewis Hamilton, as we know, is a six-time world champion. And I'm over here in England, and they still don't appreciate him, I don't think, like they should. And everybody over here is clamoring for him to be a knight, to be Sir Lewis Hamilton, like we've got Sir Stirling Moss and right. Sir Jackie Stewart and Sir Jack Brabham, for that matter, in motor racing. And we've got lots of knights in cricket and soccer and tennis, everything, tiddlywinks, darts. but they won't knight Lewis, and he's already achieved twice what any other driver's achieved, British driver, that is.
Well, isn't that something you do after he's done, retired, or do you?
Well, not always. I mean, Andy Murray is Sir Andy Murray, and he's still playing tennis.
Okay.
I mean, yes, a lot of people have put that forward as an excuse, and a lot of people have put forward the excuse that he's a tax exile, but then, Sir Jackie Stewart got a knighthood, and he lived in Switzerland.
Yep.
Sir Rod Stewart has lived in Los Angeles for, I don't know, 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm not Sir David Hobbs either, but not quite the same league as Lewis Hamilton. But anyway, I'll talk to you after that show.
All right, very good, David. We look forward to chatting with you again. Thanks for coming on the show this year, and we'll see you when you come back over, when you make that trip across the pond.
Okay, Steve, get your scarf, hat, and gloves out. See you later. Okay.
Well, all right. Thanks, David. That was David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We're going to talk more IndyCar racing with George Phillips from the OilPressure.com blog coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is George Phillips from the OilPressure.com blog. Welcome to the show again, George.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me back on.
Well, thanks. We appreciate you coming on. And of course, obviously the big news of the week was the Roger Penske news of him purchasing the not only the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is huge, but also the IndyCar series in itself. And we've been talking with a few others earlier today about the effects on the speedway itself, but I'm kind of curious to get your, since you do cover the series, well, what's your opinion of what kind of changes do you think we could see possibly in the IndyCar series in itself?
So far as change, I don't know how many changes you're going to see for 2020, but I think everybody's been talking about all the wonderful improvements and all how great this is going to be for the Indianapolis 500, which I think it will be. But I think the biggest beneficiary of this transaction is going to be the NTT IndyCar Series. I just think because I think there's a lot more room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where Mr. Penske is going to have his biggest challenges. Lost in all of this hoopla on Monday, I think over the weekend, or maybe it was even Monday itself, but there was an article that is now buried that says that Honda is strongly considering looking at NASCAR. And if Honda goes to NASCAR, I'm not sure they're going to be in IndyCar, and that will be a big blow. And so I think one of the first things on his radar is to keep Honda.
Yep. And I think if – and the other thing is, you know, it's been talked about widely for the last year and a half about getting a third manufacturer in the IndyCar series, which would be very beneficial. And I don't think there's anybody better to do that, you know, would be in a position to do that than Roger Penske, who's worked with pretty much every manufacturer throughout his career, dating back to American Motors, you know, in the early 70s. He's worked with Chevy, he's worked with Ford, he's worked with Toyota, Honda, he's worked with everybody. And, you know, Roger is that kind of person. He doesn't burn bridges. And yeah. So he, you know, there's a guy who on his, you know, I mean, that must be one hell of an iPhone he must have with a directory of people in that thing. I mean, just
I know.
He can dial up pretty much anybody and you know, they're going to take his call.
I heard somebody speaking earlier, younger listeners may not understand the reference, but just imagine the size of his Rolodex.
Right.
And I think that's another area where the series is really going to benefit, just his relationships. Like you say, he does not burn bridges, and Mark Miles knows his way around a boardroom. Don't get me wrong, but even Mark Miles in Monday's press conference, he said that you call and you hope that you eventually get the right person to pick up the phone. Well, Roger can short circuit that.
Yep.
And it's true. I mean, I don't know of anybody living or dead that has the vast network of business relationships that Roger Penske does. And I think that can do nothing but help the series in so many ways. I think, as you said, bringing in a third engine manufacturer, possibly even a fourth, who knows? I mean, I think a lot of manufacturers that had originally said no to Jay Fry and Mark Miles might now be rethinking that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I mentioned this to David Hobbs in the previous segment about, you know, media functions where, you know, he would come over to the table and say hi to everyone. And I'm sure you've been at some of these same media functions where, you know, Roger is one of these guys. He's not presumptuous in any way. He's so approachable. And you've seen, you know, we've seen this also at the track too, whether it's in the paddock or, you know, fans coming up to him and saying hi, and he's very, very, very approachable. And, you know, he's a different guy. There's people, you know, when they walk in their room, you kind of notice them, and he's one of those people, isn't he?
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I'll share a story with you. A few years ago, I was needing to move some furniture for my son, and what did I rent? I rented a Penske truck. And while I was filling out the paperwork, I was talking to the guy who actually was the general manager of the facility. And somehow, you know, Roger Penske's name came up, and he had nothing but high praise for the man. He said that he has gone to functions that Roger Penske was there, and the same thing that David Hobbs said. He would go around from table to table and introduce himself, talk a little bit about it, and it's just incredible. And so my only concern, and I know this is everybody has said this, but I just wish he had done this 10 years ago, because you can't ignore the age factor.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, so, you know, they were mentioning that, and he said, well, the timing wasn't right, you know, that he didn't really have the means to do it. And we know Roger's not going to make a business move unless it makes sense for him. And now he's in the position to do it. But the other thing is, the other, you know, situation was the Holman Group wasn't ready to do it. So, yeah, I certainly understand that. Yeah, we certainly wish this could have been made 10 years ago. But, you know, at least it's made now.
It's made now. And I everybody has said this throughout this week that there's nobody – this is the best case scenario possibly. And – Tony George said at the press conference the other day, as a family business, we had taken this thing as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's thinking about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway when it says that, but I think that statement applies even more to IndyCar. I don't think that IndyCar was getting the needed support from Holman and Company that it desperately deserved, because it needs bolstering, and I don't think there's any question about that. And yes, it's great for the 500. I love it for the 500, but I think the IndyCar series is where the benefits are going to be reaped.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an exciting next couple of years for the IndyCar series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So, George, what's the latest at oilpressure.com?
Well, this has certainly given me plenty to talk about over the last couple of days. And one thing that I do want, and I mentioned this in my article that I posted on Friday, was that one thing that kind of lost in all this is, where does Doug Bowles fit in? I've heard mm-hmm. that Jay Fry and Mark Miles fit into his plans, but I have not heard the same about Doug Bowles. What have you heard?
That remains to be seen. You know, and there's been two. I love Doug. You know, full disclosure here. I've known Doug for about 20 some years, dating back to with Tom Beeler, who I had on earlier, back to our CompuServe days. Back when we had a racing page, all of us together. So, Doug is a, there's a group, and I don't necessarily agree with this, that feels he's a little too into self-promotion. Whereas I think he's putting a face on the speedway by doing that and getting out and meeting the people. So
I fully agree.
And with there's also a group that doesn't like the Christmas lights at the speedway and doing all this other stuff. And I've been on both sides of this. I've been on the promotion side at the Milwaukee Mile, and you know, it's, you want to, his theory is get the people to the speedway. If it's not for a race, it's for something else. And if you've been somewhere and the opportunity comes, so you want to go there again, you're more apt to go back there if you've been there before. So his theory is, if you've been out there for Christmas lights or you've been out there for a concert, there's a better chance for you if the opportunity is for you to go out there for an IndyCar race or the Brickyard 400 or whatever, you're going to take that opportunity.
Right.
So I understand where he's coming from. I whatever happens to Doug, I know he's going to land on his feet. He's a tireless worker, but he's been certainly good for the speedway, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I do too, and I think it would be a mistake. Roger Penske doesn't make too many mistakes, so I'm being optimistic, but I tend to agree with you that I don't think he's in self-promotion. I think he's in speedway promotion mode.
Yep.
I've been to the Christmas lights twice, and my question is, what else are you going to do with that acreage during December?
Exactly. And, you know, people enjoy it, and not everything, you know, unfortunately, not everything can be geared towards the 60-year-old guy that goes to Charlie Brown's on Sunday morning. I'll leave it
That's
at
true.
That.
And I know you're going to ask me questions, but I got a question for you. Do you see any you mentioned the Milwaukee Mile. Do you think it might have new life as an IndyCar race now that Roger Penske's on board?
Well, I certainly do. And Robin Miller wrote an interesting article about the ratings, that the Milwaukee in general has one of the highest ratings, television ratings, for IndyCar racing. And it's been a situation where it's been a bad situation of the promotion and the people. When I worked there, I worked up to this last one with the Andretti group, but I worked with four promotion groups and three within 4 years at the end. I came in with the Haas organization, and I like to brag a little bit that nobody ever had problems with the operational side of it or the promotion side. It was always on the kind of the money side of it. That's where the issue mm-hmm. always had been with. So, I think if they're able to bring Gateway back, and Gateway is very strong, kind of proves what you can do, that you can have a successful oval track race. And, I think if they follow what Gateway has done, I think Milwaukee will be fine, and I think the state has realized that they need to be a partner and not a landlord. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, well, I hope so. But overall, I'm excited. When I first heard the news, it was, as everyone, disbelief, and had a few concerns on the negative side went through my mind briefly, but I quickly talked myself out of those, and I'm very excited with what the future holds with Roger Penske at the helm.
Should be interesting, George. We certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Look forward to chatting with you again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
All right, make sure to check out George Phillips and all his good stuff at oilpressure.com. Joining us next, Dennis Michelson on the Final Inspection Show.
Final Inspection.
Final Inspection.
Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
And hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway and Union Guru. Joining us once again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Dennis Michelson, D-Mike Media. Dennis, welcome to the show.
D-Man, I am going to give you a little compliment, young man. This is the reason we need motorsports shows on radio. When big events happen, like the sale of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you can get the list of guests that you had on today to cover it inside and out, from the financial with Tim Frost, from the media side with Tom Beeler, George Phillips, David Hobbs. This is what makes this show fantastic.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Dennis, and you're certainly a part of that too. And with the Penske purchase, could we maybe see another racing family leave the sport soon?
Yeah, that was my first thought, because I've watched, and Tim talked about this earlier on the show, about ISC taking their tracks private, and SMI did the same thing. And I just think there's going to be this huge mammoth sale coming up, and we're going to see a change of the racing landscape. I live about an hour and 20 minutes away now from Indianapolis, and around here, this was earth-shattering news. The thing that shocked me about this whole move is that outside of a brief mention in sports media, it didn't make the news. To me, that's more of a sign of where we are with racing having become a real niche sport in this country.
Yeah, and of course, NASCAR is in Phoenix this weekend. We spoke with Jeff Orlowski early in the show on that, but I wanted to bring that around again towards the end here. And we were texting each other earlier, and you said Phoenix is kind of like a game six. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, there's some guys here that they don't need the win, but boy, it sure would help. And
right.
There's other guys that are desperate for the win to get into this Final Four. And it just sort of dawned on me this week that again by losing game. And that's where I can see Kyle Busch struggling, because Kyle needs a win. You know, it's ever since the, you know, the JGR would not let the GOAT into the press conference and they got rid of the guy named Babe. They've had this curse and they haven't been able to win a race in forever, this huge drought. You know, it's not since the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs have we seen a drought this long. And now he's just 2 points away from missing out on points if someone else wins. And that's where this could get crazy, because I look for big races out of Denny Hamlin this weekend, and I could see a guy like Chase Elliott, who has to win, get it done, because he's good at this kind of a track. So it's going to be that game six moment where Kyle Busch doesn't have to win, but he better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if, let's say, you know, someone like Chase Elliott, you know, starts dominating the race. We're like two-thirds in, you know, into the race. He's leading, and, you know, if he just keeps what he's doing, he's going to get locked in. And how desperate do some of these other teams get who are battling, especially if you're within sight, or, you know, just a couple, the next car, or, you know, how strategy plays, and even, you know, roughhousing on the track, how could that play into this, you know, that last segment of the race on Sunday?
Well, we've seen it before years ago in a different format. If we saw Jeff Gordon and Clint Bowyer get into it out there at Phoenix and lead to one of the more memorable runs across the garage area of all time. But no, it's going to be a really crazy race, just like, you know, the Polish pipe bomb said earlier. I'm not a big fan of this format, but it is what it is, and it's what we've got. And this sort of an arrangement is set up for it, because otherwise Kyle Busch and Joey Logano would be cruising their way in if there was just points that count. But the fact that the win and you're in thing, with guys like Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott, who have a legitimate shot at this track of winning, and Denny Hamlin, this track owes him one, because remember years ago, he lost the championship here when he had a bad race at Phoenix, when he just about had the championship locked up, and he gave one away. But, you know, I don't think Ryan Blaney and Kyle Larson, I think it would take something sort of tricky with pit strategy, or just, you know, one of those weird things to get those guys in victory lane. But Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin have a real good shot. But this week I'm kind of picking Kyle Busch. I just think he's going to realize that his back is up against the wall. If he wants to win this championship, he's going to need a win to make sure he can get it done.
And it'll be interesting to see. You can't really do much at Texas, but this track perhaps maybe, you know, I told Jeff I'm going to be wearing my ABL t-shirt, anybody but Logano. But could we see maybe Eric Amarola take a shot at him this weekend?
Yeah, that's a good possibility. And this is actually a good track for Eric Amarola. On front stretch this week, that was my pick. That was my long shot pick of the week, was picking Eric Almirola to win this. But maybe he decides that instead of winning a race and having sort of just a win, he can get revenge. It might be interesting. We might see a little bit of excitement. And maybe we'll get another fight after the race. But hopefully this time we get a real fight, not just pushing and shoving.
It is. Yeah, it's well. Who's your pick? Who's your pick for the Xfinity and the Cup race? Who do you like?
In the Xfinity race, I'll pick Christopher Bell, because he's the only guy that I can remember that's still running that series. I have had such a disinterest in that series, only to be, you know, compounded by the truck series when, you know, I see guys listed up on the thing and I think, is that Barnaby Jones race and all that stuff? And then the, you know, Mr. Freeze is racing against Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not as into the Xfinity and the Truck Series anymore, because the style of racing, the quality of racing has gone down so much. Cup is still exciting. Cup still gets my attention. I watched the truck race last night, when I got home from the hockey game that we called, for the Danville Dashers, I watched the replay of the race, and and that put me right to sleep, so I had to rewatch it this morning. But, you know, it just isn't as exciting of a brand of racing as it used to be, and that's why the television ratings are suffering, and that's why the attendance is pitiful now. And, you know, NASCAR's kind of brought that on themselves with all these guys that, you know, don't excite the fans.
Well, who do you like in the Cup Series?
In the Cup Series, I'm taking Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch.
When his back is up against the wall, I think he's going to get it done. He's actually been very, very strong here the last five races. He's got a big, big point spread over the next best guy.
All right. Very good, Dennis. What's the latest at DMAC Media?
We're having fun on the fantasy football side with Fake Pigskin, the NASCAR side with frontstretch.com. And, of course, you got to fear the deer because the Danville Dashers playing the big Watertown Wolves, and we're calling that game, and you can watch it live on YouTube, our YouTube channel with the Danville Dashers. So having a good time, and of course getting ready for the Racetrack Business Conference with Mr. Tim Frost, but I have to correct him. He's the host. I'm just the moderator of that.
Hey, question for you. With Jacoby Brissett out for the Colts tomorrow, Brian Hoyer in, is he a viable start in your football league?
I've got that decision in one league, and I'm actually going away from that, and I haven't even figured out who I'm rolling the dice with yet. And one other league where I had that dilemma, I started Derek Carr, and I'm relieved that I picked him up to start him because I'm not looking for great things from Hoyer. I think they'll be run heavy and even more run heavy.
Well, what about two guys that are available in a lot of leagues is that the pig of a game. That's the Jets and the Giants, Daniel Jones. You know, are those two quarterbacks viable?
Danny Dimes has got a shot at putting some good points up on the board because that Jets defense has been really pitiful.
Okay. So that you Daniel Jones over Brian Hoyer. Yeah. Okay, very good, Dennis. All right, we're losing your phone. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
All right. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. We can get our final predictions. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com. Eddie Lapine, welcome to the show, sir. Eddie. Did we lose? Oh, we lost Eddie. Well, let's see. We'll try and get Eddie back up on the phone here. And, well, let's see here. Let's do predictions. My predictions for the race. I am going to go with Chase Elliott. I think Chase Elliott is the guy. And then let's go with Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series. Let's see here if we can bring up Eddie once again. Get his predictions and his reaction. Of course, this week to the... is that him on the line? Let's bring back Eddie.
Can you hear us?
Eddie.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I think Steve hung up on me.
Oh, I would never do such a thing. Welcome to the show, Eddie Lapine.
Hey.
So what was your reaction to the big news this week with Penske in Indianapolis? Was that a surprise to you?
I think it caught everybody off guard because there was no rumblings about it. They kept it pretty hush-hush. I thought it was, it's an incredible step forward for, you know, IndyCar racing and racing. And when Roger puts his stamp on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I think it's huge. It's
a big commitment. Between the two organizations, including Roger Penske, Tony George, Mark Miles. There was only 8 people involved in this transaction for the, you know, the thumbnail sketch net. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's why they were able to keep it under wraps. And it's secrets nowadays are very hard to keep. And, a tip of the hat to them to keeping this thing underneath their hat. It makes sense now, but there was always speculation of Penske buying the track, but the timing, you would hear some, earlier in the show, there's so many, you hear these rumors all the time and you just get immune to them. Okay, here we go again. The track is being sold again. But, when you get the email from the Speedway itself saying, hey, we're having a press conference, Penske's buying the track, you certainly sit up and take notice, don't you?
Well, not only that, but it just rang around the world. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's the biggest facility. It's the biggest one-day show in the world when it comes to racing. So, I mean, to have Roger, I think there was a lot of joking around talking about he needed a bigger trophy room for all his trophies at Indianapolis. I saw that, and I think it's great. It's great for motorsports. You'll see more people in the world of, in business that are going to step up to the plate and want to be involved in sponsorship. I think it's going to be huge.
It is going to be huge. All right, real quick, who's your prediction for the Cup race?
Harvick.
Harvick? And what about, do you want to go Christopher Bell like everybody else in the Xfinity race?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Make it easy.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Any final thoughts on this, on the week it was in auto racing?
No, I think that we're going to just, the ramifications of this is going to be huge, and it's all going to be positive things.
All right.
In the motorsports world.
All right. Well, Eddie, we certainly appreciate you joining the show. I'd like to thank everybody else for joining the show, including Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media, George Phillips from theoilpressure.com, David Hobbs, of course, Tom Beeler from Racing Information Services, and Jeff Orlowski and Timothy Frost. Fun show. Mayor Mitch, thank you for co-hosting.
You bet. LSU and Alabama coming up here in just a couple of minutes on The Fan.
All right. Thanks for listening.
It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.